Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is the fifth Sunday in Lent. And this is also the fifth encounter in Jesus' journey to Jerusalem. Remember the previous Sundays. The first Sunday, Jesus encountered the devil. And then Nicodemus, the Samaritan woman at the well. And then the man born blind last Sunday. And the lessons we learned from these encounters for our own life journey. Now today, there is the encounter between Jesus and Lazarus, as Jesus calls Lazarus from death to life. Now there are many themes that come out of this encounter and this touching gospel story. I would like to focus on some themes, but especially the theme of death, particularly the death of a loved one. And we will continue to do our reflection from there. Now, there is a short sentence in the gospel that captures it all. And Jesus wept. Very seldom in the Gospels would you see Jesus weeping. This is one of them. The other one was when he wept over Jerusalem. We know that experience of crying, of weeping. It is part of our life. You know, I have been privileged to be with a number of parishioners during those sacred moments before death, when the pain was so great, when the sadness seemed unbearable. I recall that last moment with my youngest brother, when the pain was so much that all I could do was cry. That is the way it is for us. And for Jesus, the Son of God, that is the way it is also. He wept with sadness at the death of his friend. In other words, Jesus is our model of godly grief. To put it simply, he has taught us that it is all right to cry. He even taught us, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now there is a second sentence in the gospel story that is also significant. When people saw that Jesus wept, they all said, see how he loved him. See how Jesus loved Lazarus. That is the way with us also in our relationships. See how we love that person who has just died, whether that person is a mother, a father, a brother, a sister, a child, a friend. When feelings run deep, you can see how the grieving person so deeply loved the deceased. I have one experience with a family. During one of the sacred moments when the whole family was gathered around their mother's bed, and the life support was supposed to be unplugged, we prayed together. They began telling stories. They began expressing gratitude, saying goodbye. You know that when you unplug, the patient does not die necessarily at that moment. It takes quite a while. And I could see the love in the eyes and feel the love in their voices. I could just say with the people, see how they loved her. Yes, feelings were running deep at those moments. But there is yet another thing that catches me in the gospel story, and it is this line, "And Mary was accompanied by her grieving friends, and they grieved with her." There is something supportive and healing about having friends around you who love you, who grieve with you. I remember again another incident when a parishioner suddenly died. Relatives and friends gathered around the wife to give her incredible support. I was so proud of those relatives and friends who rallied around her. Yes, I saw the community at its best. And that same kind of community was part of the story for today, with those friends of Mary gathering around her. Yes, this is what the church is for. That is what the church is, a community of Christ's compassion and consolation to one another, where we know love, we know grief, and we share it with one another. I end the sermon with a little story. This is a story about a little girl who stayed out at play much longer than she was supposed to stay. So when she got home, her mother scolded her and asked her where she had been. The child said that one of her playmates had broken her doll, and so he helped her fix it for 2 hours. Her mother asked her, "How in the world could you help fix a broken doll for 2 hours?" And in all of the innocence of the child, she said, "Yes, Mommy," she said, "I could not fix the doll, but I sat down with my friend and helped her cry." There are some things beyond our fixing. There is some brokenness we cannot repair, no matter how much time, money, or talent we have. Sometimes all we could do is weep with those who weep. When this is all we can do, it is enough. Of course, the gospel tells us that that is not enough. That is not the only thing we can do. We can believe that life, not death, is the end of our Lenten journey, of our life's journey. In other words, the story of Lazarus points us to life. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die, but live forever." The story of Lazarus points to Jesus. Lazarus isn't the point of the story. Jesus' ability to transform the meaning of life and death for those who chose him and trusted in him, that's the point. "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die, but live forever." And you remember what Jesus asked? "Martha, do you believe this?" And so we ask ourselves the same question. Do we believe this? Do we believe that Christ is the Son of the living God, and that whoever lives and believes in him will never die? How we answer this question really affects our entire journey, our Lenten journey, our life's journey. Remember that our journey does not end in Calvary. It points to the resurrection on the third day. So it is my prayer that God will give us that faith that was in the heart of Martha's reply. "Yes, Lord, I know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen.